Happy Halloween, especially to those of you in the Central and Eastern time zones, where it is actually already officially Halloween, All Hallows Eve. But for other people, it's just All Hallows Eve Eve. But still, either way, it's fun. This is Ian Punnett, Coast to Coast AM. I am broadcasting from 890 AM WLS in Chicago, where it is insane here for Halloween. Driving downtown, traffic backed up. Just the party is just getting started. People walking around dressed up as lots of like sexy cats and, you know, happening vampires and lots of zombies. Or at least I think those are people dressed as zombies. But if one were a zombie and one were out looking for brains, this would be the night and this would be the place to just walk around and blend. Because I'm telling you, it is insane. It's like gridlock downtown. The bars are spilling out. It's something like 60 degrees outside. It's a super warmish night, and it's just terrific. But it's going to be a party on the radio, too. If you don't have someplace to go to tonight, then stick around. We'll put you in a Halloween mood. The Ghost Adventurers coming up this hour on Coast to Coast. More on that in just a minute. But coming up next hour, we'll be examining the sinister forces at work in the world. Peter Lavenda is back. It's a very interesting series, three-part series, in which he examines the political witchcraft, a term he's borrowed, but he popularizes here in political witchcraft. What does that mean? What are the occult and or occultish practices that have helped to drive this country even before it was the United States, even when it was back into the New World? Which ones are most evident, and how are we victims of political witchcraft today? We're talking about that coming up next hour on Coast to Coast. We could certainly make an argument about sinister forces when we talk about the terrorism that exists. We know that Friday, it was, in fact, some sort of, you know, terrorist activity, perhaps as we've heard described before on Coast to Coast, merely what they call proof of concept, that this was a test by sending out these explosive devices via cargo planes from Yemen and trying to find their marks around the world, that it's something which they wouldn't mind getting caught doing because they're trying to test the outer boundaries. What can they get away with? And that the real operation hasn't taken place yet. That's a very scary thought. Of course, something like that should happen just hours before I was supposed to get on a plane and come to Chicago. Earlier in the week, with the Landacane, as everybody was calling it, this Cat 3 storm that was hovering over the upper Midwest and then all the way to the East Coast, this huge low-pressure system, which has never been recorded before, a low-pressure system so significant that in never before in recorded history has a storm like that sat over land here in the United States. And that was messing up airports. And then here comes Friday, and a couple hours before I was supposed to get on a plane, then all this stuff coming from Yemen about terrorist activity, and holy smokes, it just, so I had to get to the airport a couple hours early, but it worked out because, you know, I got to spend some time with the family. And you know what I always say, if life gives you Yemens, you make Yemenade. So I did the best I could on Friday. If you go to the website tonight, at coasttocoastam.com, you'll see some people who have done something even greater than just, you know, enjoy the Halloween spirit. They've helped to create it. Coasttocoastam.com, the artwork that comes in every year. It's the kind of this spooky Halloween gallery, part one. There'll be more coming up tomorrow night when we do Ghost to Ghost on Coast to Coast. But there's definitely a zombie thread that runs through the artwork. My favorite, I think, Tentacle Monstrosity is very good. Kind of a nod to H.P. Lovecraft with that one. But there's some really fun ones, really interesting pieces of art. A Fruminous Bandersnatch, I don't think I understand, but I like it. It Came from Beneath, Nosferatu, Ghostly Battle is done well in a, you know, kind of this cinema verite looking very cool piece of art like that, and then Elvis Zombie, other things. Go take a look at all of the gallery submissions so far at coasttocoastam.com, and there'll be more coming up tomorrow night, where we'll be doing a lot more with ghosts on Coast to Coast. Tonight, we'll talk to the ghost adventurers themselves. On the Travel Channel, they go all over the United States, video, audio in hand, looking for proof of ghosts in their native habitat. We'll talk about what they've found and what they're still looking for coming up next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. Again, coming up next hour, we'll be talking about sinister forces with Peter Lavenda. It's nice to have him back coming up on Coast to Coast. Have you had a chance to catch Ghost Adventures on the Travel Channel? I imagine you have. They show it a lot. It's fun to watch. And two of the ghost adventurers are with us here, Zach Bagans and Nick Groff. Good evening, guys.
How you doing?
We're doing great. Let's hear your voices just so we can focus in on them a little bit. Zach, say hi.
Hello, this is Zach.
Okay, and then Nick, you were the louder of the two, I think.
It's a spooky Halloween night.
Okay, and where are we catching you all for Halloween?
Well, we are in Las Vegas. I know you were just talking about what you were seeing walking down the streets in Chicago, and we're seeing a lot of weirder stuff walking around the streets here in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'd be willing to stipulate Las Vegas is going to be much more weirder and happening than anywhere.
Well, you could go on any night of the week at 3 in the morning and walk down in certain areas there and see all kinds of zombies.
Yeah, I think you're about right. And they're all, but instead of looking for brains, they're pretty much looking for coins. Aren't they?
Yeah, among other things.
Zach Bagans is the leader of the Ghost Adventures. It's an ongoing series on the Travel Channel. You haven't been to all 50 states yet, but you've been around a lot.
Yeah, we've been around a lot. I mean, we've even left the country on a few occasions in Italy and England and Scotland. We've done 3 investigations overseas. But, the frequent flyer miles are really starting to rack up. I think I can buy a whole island right now and frequent flyer miles. But, you know, we've been to a lot of places, and that's always the adventure in Ghost Adventures is the locations where we're going.
Did you think you'd grow up and become, Shaggy and Freddy?
Yeah. Absolutely not. You know, all of this has happened from an experience that I had, and it pretty much changed my life, not just what I'm doing now as a career, but, you know, I honestly never used to believe in ghosts. And, you know, I was living in Detroit, Michigan, and, you know, I had some own demons, you know, that I was battling myself at that point in my life, you know.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, I was living in Detroit, Michigan, and, you know, it was just a kind of a dark time in my life. And, you know, a lot of people don't know too that I battled, you know, severe anxiety and panic disorders for a long time. And I had that, and it interfered with my life a lot. And when I was in Detroit, you know, I was living in this old apartment, you know, building in Trenton, Michigan. And after about a month I moved into this place, I would hear this lady scream my full name, which is Zachary, and she would scream it over and over and over. And the first night, obviously, I think that, you know, I'm trying to rationalize here. Is it somebody, my neighbor or something? Well, why is my name being screamed? But it was, I could feel something, you know, the energy of the room was weird. So, you know, was I dreaming? Maybe, you know, I couldn't give an exact, you know, the detail of that until it happened the next night and then the next night. And it happened like 6 or 7 nights in a row. And then on that 6th or 7th night is when things change for me. All right. I'm sleeping there on my stomach and I feel somebody. I hear the same lady's voice screaming my full name. And it always happened at 3 in the morning. This time, somebody's on my back and I can't move at all. And I'm screaming, panicking, and it happened for about 30 seconds. And I was working, selling cell phones, actually, at AT&T Wireless, you know, working a 9-to-5 job Monday through Friday. And I flipped over, and I sat up, and I saw this figure of a woman standing at the corner of my bed, just standing absolutely still. And at this point, I thought that I was going to have a heart attack. My heart was beating so fast. I was terrified, you know, because I knew what this was. A lot of people don't understand that the feelings, the senses that you experience with paranormal, with ghosts, you know, if somebody dies abruptly, you know, what were they thinking in that point before they died? What was going through their mind? What energy was going through their brain? What electrical impulses? And, you know, where does that energy go? And I think when a spirit passes so abruptly like that and they become a ghost, or what we call ghosts, you know, that energy is still there. And our bodies really have an effect on that energy, on that residual energy, and a lot of times intelligent. But it was the feeling, it was the experience. And from that point on, things changed in my life. You know, a lot of things changed in my life, not just me being on television. You know, this is something I never thought I would be doing.
Well, but I want to hear about Nick too in a second, but before I do, let me ask you, Zach, would you say that the ghost experience that you had then ended up being oddly therapeutic?
It was. And I'll tell you right now, since I've been doing this, okay, as fearful as it may be, and a lot of the demonic investigations that Nick will even tell you about, that has, what Aaron thinks has destroyed his marriage 80% from what has followed him home, as much fear and as much demonic stuff goes on with us, and yes, I do taunt and stuff towards the demonic spirits. You know, I listen to people that cry, tremble, grab onto my arm and say, look, this attack happened to me. Who's going to go in there and try and stick up for them? Who's going to try and help them get closure? Well, we are going to try and draw that energy out. And in the process, it can be very dangerous. But at the same time, it's helped me. You know, it's a crazy thing.
And helped you get over your kind of the panic disorder and the anxiety situation.
I don't have it anymore. Okay. It almost damn near destroyed my life because of how bad it was. And since I've been doing what I'm doing, I know it sounds crazy, but I feel like these spirits and these ghosts and who we communicate with has helped me. It changed.
Then the exorcism is cut both ways. Hey, Nick, let me ask you, what was your original interest in the paranormal? How did you become an expert?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, since I was a little kid, it was such a fascination for me, myself, since I was about 8 years old. I remember talking to my grandmother about supernatural stuff all the time. We would talk about UFOs and paranormal and ghosts and all sorts of stuff. And that just kind of grew on me since my childhood. And I actually had an incident when I was about 8 years old. I actually had like a near-life death experience where I ripped open my arm and almost hit my artery and died on a cyclone fence. And I had to be rushed to the hospital and stuff. So that kind of stuck with me, and it was weird. Ever since then, I just kind of, I grew older, and this fascination just grew on me about, you know, what happens when you die? What else is out there? What happens when your body just, you know, that's it, and you pass on to the other side?
Let me go back to something Zach said with you then, Nick. So at that moment when you are thinking that you might die from this, you know, mishap at a cyclone fence, you were thinking, what were you feeling at that moment? If you die from this, what would have been your last thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, it was weird. You know, it was flash images, to be honest with you. I was a hyperactive kid. I ran up a tree. I was swinging on a branch, and I fell on top of the cyclone fence right below me. And all I remember is I was in complete shock, and I blacked out for a second. And the images I remember is waking up, start walking to my mom, who was on a bench about 100 feet from me, and just saying, Mom, I love you. And then passing out again, waking up with, you know, just seeing all these faces hovered over me. And then I blacked out again. I was in the ambulance, and I was in the hospital, seeing my sister crying in front of me and all that stuff. And that's basically, you know.
The reason I say that is I think a lot of the ghost stories that I hear, and I've never had a really, you know, profound ghost experience in my own life, but I was just interviewing an author a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking about this a little bit, is that if that's true, that this sort of ghost energy happens when a spirit is unable to or unwilling to make the next leap in the form that our energies do, then the claim is that a lot of these ghosts are walking around with a sense of unfairness, that exactly. What happened to them was wrong. This, why should this have happened to me? Mm-hmm. This is, you know, I don't want this to have happened. They're trying to turn the clock back to that moment just before they looked up and went, what? And so that's where those spirits are hovering around. What does that how's that sound like to you, Zach?
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. That's what Zach and myself and Aaron, we've been researching that for a while. And, you know, even Zach will tell you this, that, you know, we both highly agree that there, you know, on a scientific level, everybody is made up of energy. That's a proven fact. And when your body dies, which everybody is going to die no matter what your beliefs are, where does that energy go? So if you have a murderer in our life who is a murderer, and you have all this just evil energy just built up inside this guy, and then suddenly he gets murdered by his prison inmate in jail cell, is that energy going to linger in that prison cell? And we've come in contact with a lot of that stuff on our journeys, on our adventures. And yeah, it's pretty frightening.
I think a lot of, you know, what you're saying is very, very accurate, you know, and a lot of people say, wow, Zach, you know, you have the ability to communicate with a lot of spirits. And you know, it's been very obvious within about the last 7 or 8 months, our EVPs have just went from getting one EVP or a, you know, get out, you know, was that a get out? I don't know, but we're going to present it. You know, we present a lot of evidence,
yeah,
and a lot of the stuff we can't explain, but we're still going to present it. A lot of stuff that we can't debunk, we're still going to present it.
I think there have been times, I'll be totally honest with you, when I'm watching your show, and I see how you guys chiron what the EVP said, and I kind of hear what you guys hear, but I kind of don't. And so a lot of times I think, I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that clear. Certainly didn't hear it that clearly that you all think that's what it said. I understand what you're saying about we just present it and leave it up to us to decide. But sometimes I decide no. just think I hear that and I go, that wasn't that clear. But for your EVPs.
Right. And a lot of the EVPs, I mean, come on, we can't always get crystal clear class A EVPs of what I'm saying right now. All that we're telling you is that we take EVP sessions very seriously. Anybody that's ever been to an event of ours or have, you know, at least witnessed us doing an EVP session, they see how serious we take it. And
sure.
You know, when we do an EVP session, you know, we want to eliminate all audio contamination. That's why the three of us are really locked in these locations. You know, that's not for dramatic effect. We take that very seriously. Audio is our biggest source of evidence. And audio should be, because communication fits in that category. So when I do EVP sessions, when we do them, you know, we will mark on the recorder when somebody may accidentally whisper or, you know, shuffle their feet or something like that. We will mark on that. And just recently we brought a full-blown skeptic who is retired from 30 years of law enforcement that doesn't believe in ghosts, thinks it's all hogwash. And we did an investigation at the Villisca Axe murder house. And this particular guy, I believe his name is Roy Marshall, he wrote a book on the unsolved murder case. And he's still active in that case. And we interviewed him in the actual courtroom where the trial took place of all these people being murdered, of the suspect.
Sure.
And I told him, looked him straight in the eye, and I said, Roy, if we do our investigation tonight, I am going to ask questions about this murder case. If there's spirits here and they're intelligent, I am going to be very inquisitive about the case, and I will try and get names. And I said, if we do get some, you know, names or anything that I think would help this case, can we contact you? And he said, well, yeah. And I said, well, better yet, why don't you come with us on the investigation? Come with us in the lockdown. So this is what we like to do now, because we know what we're capturing is absolutely amazing, especially some of these EVPs. And I admit, not all of them are Class A EVPs. Some of them may be Class C, scratchy, whispering sounds. But at that time, nothing was going on when that scratchy whisper was being said. And a lot of times you can make words out of it.
Okay.
But, you know, we brought Roy into the investigation and showed him the recorder. We had him hold the recorder.
That's probably where we're going to have to leave it for the moment. We'll come back. Zach Bagans and Nick Groff. My apologies if I thought I was speaking to Nick and I was actually speaking to Zach. I'm still trying to get their voices straight on this end. But they are the leaders of Ghost Adventures on the Travel Channel. We'll give you the number so that your fans can join in the conversation, too, coming up on Coast to Coast. Happy Halloween. We're talking with Nick and Zach, two of the Ghost Adventurers on Ghost Adventures on the Travel Channel. You can talk to them, too. We'll get a couple of calls in before the top of the hour, but I want to pick up the conversation kind of where we left it off. We were talking about these energies, these spirits, how they've transformed both of their lives, as well as how they've used these experiences to reach out to police departments and skeptics who are coming in and perhaps even being able to solve crimes with the help someday of Ghost Adventures on the Travel Channel. But I got a question left over from a couple of weeks ago. You know, we were talking about ghosts earlier in the month, and I had on the author of the book Holy Ghosts, and it was about his experiences trying to find a way to understand the theology of ghosts, even as his Long Island home was being haunted. And he was trying to work within his church. You remember Gary Jenkins talking about this, and trying to figure out where do ghosts come from? How does this get explained? And he was able to find not many, some that were considered heretical, but there were sources within the Catholic Church and traditional Catholic catechism that helped explain ghosts. And he talked about the difference between ghosts and demons. And I heard earlier, Nick or Zach, I can't remember which one, said that they were demonic spirits. I want to get back to that coming up next. How do we define a demonic spirit? What does that mean? Plus, coming up tomorrow night, Art Bell hosts Ghost to Ghost AM. If you're enjoying this conversation about ghosts, then you'll really love the annual Ghost to Ghost show. Ghost to Ghost 2010 coming up tomorrow night. Open lines the entire night as everybody shares their tales of their experiences with ghosts and experiences they can't explain. Perhaps you can tomorrow night when you're listening to Coast with Art Bell doing Ghost to Ghost. More details online at coasttocoastam.com. So you and Zach and Nick, and this conversation continues before we talk about sinister forces next hour with Peter Lavenda on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. All right, so it's Coast to Coast with Nick and Zach of Ghost Adventures on Travel Channel. And guys, let me ask you about that. The difference between, as you understand it, the difference between a ghost, a spirit, and a demon.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a huge difference between a spirit and a demon.
Okay, what's that?
You know, a spirit, I believe, is a human spirit from somebody who is still here for some reason. They're trapped. There's something in their life that they weren't ready to die at that moment. But demons, I feel, are not human. And we've had so many encounters with demons, but so many from the same location. And that truly is Bobby Mackey's Music World in Wilder, Kentucky. I think that place is a demonic infestation. I mean, you can't argue with a location that's have 29 sworn affidavits from police officers, clergy. I mean, a guy actually sued Bobby Mackey for being attacked in the bathroom, a rough and tough cowboy. Bobby Mackey's wife was violently attacked to the point to where she wouldn't return to the building. Then you have Carl Lawson, who is possessed, had to have an exorcism performed on him. And Nick can vouch for this. You know, we've been there three times. And there's a feeling there that is unlike any other place. We've been to many haunted prisons.
Right.
We've come into encounter with evil spirits, but demons are different.
Okay,
like, well, wreak havoc with you.
I want to step in there. Again, I'm trying to understand as we, I think, sometimes throw these words around interchangeably. So the difference, you said, you were talking about spirit, and you said that it was at one time a human life.
Mm-hmm.
Spirits are former humans. And are we using spirits and ghosts synonymously?
Similar. Yes, as a synonym.
Similar? Or yeah, synonym. Okay.
Yes.
So, all right. So if ghosts and spirits are the same thing. So when you say a demonic spirit.
Entity, that's a demonic entity.
Okay, demonic entity. Okay, that I get better. So the idea here then is that there is something about this place in Kentucky that has a it's some sort of portal. It's some sort of demonic magnet. Why do they go to that place? Why do demons go there? What's that?
It's a hatching ground. You have a place that goes back to a time when it was a slaughterhouse, and you have two names. That's an actual documented case of Scott Jackson and Alonzo Walling, who were two active Satanists who practiced devil worshiping and even did a human sacrifice at that location. And, you know, they say that place sits on one of two rivers in the world that flow north, the Licking River, you know, and for one thing, God creates perfect. There's an imperfect thing. I don't know why, you know, satanic worshipers called that place one of their home ritual grounds, but I feel with the events, the rituals that took place there, the human sacrifice, has created some kind of portal. And that portal is being fed by these demons, by these demonic entities. But at the same time, Nick and I have done investigations there where we feel that we've communicated with Scott Jackson, where his spirit has come through, his human spirit. But I feel like his human spirit there is there just like Alonzo Walling. And when they were getting hung on the gallows, you know, after convicted of decapitating Pearl Bryan, which was one of their girlfriends, you know, giving a blood sacrifice to the devil, they said that they would forever haunt those grounds. But it's like, I think that their two evil human spirits are there along with demons, demonic entities.
Nick, what are your thoughts on that?
No, I totally agree with Zach. I mean, it is an absolute different feeling in there. And, you know, one minute you could be walking around upstairs in the bar area of Bobby Mackey's and things are fine. But then the next minute you go to the basement or some other part of that building and it just hits you like a ton of bricks. I mean, you feel this energy just surround your body. And for a split second, you start losing sight in your own mind and your own spirit and your own energy. And it's like something just starts taking over that part of you. And that's the scary thing that we're coming against, that we're starting to realize is on the other side that we're talking and we're communicating with what we believe sometimes are spirits, like we're talking about. But at the same time, you know, we're being tricked half the time with these demonic entities. And that's the scary part. And that's the part that we know what we're going against. And we've encountered stuff like that, and it absolutely has stuck with us, and it has been attached to us when we leave some of these locations like Bobby Mackey's, and it's gotten to us sometimes and broken us down emotionally and gotten to our inner self where nobody else knows things personally about us, but for some reason, these demonic entities that are sitting to us know this, and that's creepy to me.
Well, what should we do? What should be done with a place like this then? Why not?
I think it should be burned to the. No, I mean, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, if it's some sort of portal, it's some sort of threat to the rest of us. Why don't we cover it in concrete? Yeah, why don't we treat it like Chernobyl?
You know what's really weird, Ian? It seems everybody that's ever been there has had some kind of an experience. Nick and I did an event there where we had 100 people come there and witness this. This is what we like to do. You watch our show on TV. You want to sit back in your couch. Yeah, I don't believe this. Come out and do this sometime. Do it. We challenge you. And sometimes we will, when we have the time, we will have events. We'll hunt with people. And when we did an event there, we had 100 people there, and I'd say 90% of those people had profound experiences, and they were all dark, very, very dark, very, very, very demonic. And what's really weird is that Bobby Mackey is the biggest skeptic, and I think the most haunted building in all of the United States. And the biggest skeptic owns the most haunted, demonically haunted building in the United States. And until we started getting deeper in this story with Bobby, and, you know, it's really weird, the reincarnation, his name Robert Randall Mackey, the crooner that was murdered there, his name Robert Randall. You know, there's a lot of weird things circulating with this guy with this building. And when he went there to buy the building, it was abandoned from a slaughterhouse. And he knew the exact blueprints before he even walked in there. I think Bobby Mackey is being used by these demons as a puppet to bring in fresh blood to his club every single weekend. Okay, he's had people at his bar get attacked to the point where I just said they've had to file a lawsuit against him. I mean, is that just kind of too weird? And yet Bobby Mackey's the only guy that still has yet never been attacked or still doesn't believe. Even when we brought him to our event in front of 100 people, and even his jaw dropping when he's hearing stuff and then he'll just walk away. I think when we started opening up that book and started revealing all of this stuff with Bobby Mackey and how I believe that he's being used as a puppet to bring in flesh blood for these demons, it seemed the experiences with us started getting more intense. Our names started being called out, okay? Nick got threats to him and his family from these voices. And when you start hearing these voices from what we believe are these demons, and they're making direct threats to us, and they're crystal clear, a lot of them are, it'll change you. And when we had our event there, my voice was captured on a shack hack in panic, witnessed by 60 people that Nick heard. Mm-hmm. These demons, just like Nick said, these demonic entities are tricksters. They like to trick with you. They're like a virus on a computer. They will get in your mind. They will wreak havoc with you. They will take your darkest, innermost little scar, and they will feed on that. And it can be very dangerous. We did a Return to Bobby Mackey investigation where the cameras went off. And I feel by doing that, a lot of the viewers did get cheated out in seeing what actually happened. But just like what Nick was saying, when you go there, you feel this energy. But when we started exposing a lot of this stuff with Bobby and his relation to this building, things started getting bad for us.
Okay.
And
well, stop going there. I want to leave some time here to get some calls in for you. We've got for Nick and Zach, the Ghost Adventures on the Travel Channel. Let's go west to the Rockies. Josephine is in L.A. on Coast to Coast for Nick and or Zach. Josephine?
Hi, guys.
Hi, how you doing?
I just want to say that I love your show. And it's the only ghost hunting show that I watch. Anyways, my question is for Zach. The episode of the Ancient Ram Inn, when you had that witch cast a spell on you to have demons follow you, I'm just curious to know, when the cameras were turned off and you guys went home after you filmed that episode, what happened to you?
Well, thanks for calling, Josephine. Thank you for the nice comments. You know, I was just talking about this yesterday with my friend Kelly Krieger. What happened is when we did that ritual, you know, I finally found out really what an incubus and succubus was. I just got confused on which one was the male and the female. And, you know, I had a lot of jokes poked fun at me for that. But, you know, the ritual, we like to try and recreate those experiences, recreate that energy, especially when we're dealing with pagans. But I remember when we heard the growl. Remember that, Nick, when we heard the growl come from the altar?
Yeah,
even
weird.
The witch heard it. And that's when she wanted to stop the ritual. But what happened was after that lockdown, we got in our cars, we drove to London, we stayed a night in a hotel there. That night, and this is typical, a lot of bad, more darker investigations, I will have nightmares the night after. And I had a nightmare that next night. And all I remember was seeing this old-looking lady with black eyes, with her arms extended out to my face, just wiggling her fingers. And she had these, like, razors on her fingers. And it was slicing my face up. And it was a bad nightmare. And then that next day, we get in the car. And obviously, we're not filming any of this. And I'm sitting in the back seat of this little minivan with Aaron, and Aaron looks at my neck, and he sees these three scratches down my neck, and then two of the scratches blend into one. And they were very profound, and that's when I took a picture of it. And then we got a sound bite from the witch that did the ritual that said that this lady, this succubus or whatever, would visit me in the next three nights. And I just thought that was too weird and coincidental, but it was strange.
Very good. Let's see again. Anna in Minnesota, east of the Rockies, on Coast to Coast for Nick and or Zach, the Ghost Adventurers. Go ahead, Anna.
Hi, Nick. Hi, Zach.
Hi, Anna.
You are some of the more inventive and creative hunters I've seen out in the field, and I was wondering if you could touch briefly on some of your protocols and technologies and how you came to create those.
Yeah, I mean, we're extremely open-minded to the paranormal field, and I think that's what makes it very interesting. You know, we want to try new things to reach out and see what works, to tap into the other side and try to validate some of the emotions, some of the feelings that we're actually getting at that moment in time when spirits that we feel in their energy are around us. So we've been working with some great scientists like Bill Chappell and some other great people with new technology that they're bringing to us to develop and try to go above and beyond to see what we can actually capture on some of this new gear, like, you know, thermal imaging and UV and just different spectrums of light. So we're bringing a lot of new equipment to a lot of the new locations that we're going to, and we're just trying it out and testing out. And we've actually captured some amazing pieces of evidence on our journeys of doing this.
A first-time caller line, Chris, is in Louisville on Coast to Coast. Probably the last call we'll be able to take for Nick and Zach. The TV show is Ghost Adventures. You'll find them on the Travel Channel Friday night. Is it 9 o'clock Eastern?
Yeah, 9 o'clock, Ian.
Okay, all right. Chris, go ahead.
Hey, guys. It's great to talk to you.
Hey, Chris.
How you doing?
I wanted to say, first of all, my favorite Ghost Adventure moment was Nick, when you saw that ghost down at Linda Vista Hospital and looked like you about jumped out of your skin.
Yeah, and if you look closer, the digital recorder actually flies out of my hand too.
Yeah,
it was one of the scariest moments for me ever.
Yeah, it was. But I had I've been to Waverly Hills before, and I've seen the shadow people, and I've had a pair of the dowsing rods about smacked out of my hand. And but I had a question about the Bobby Mackey's. Of course, the Return to Bobby Mackey's World is my favorite episode, and man, you guys, can you please elaborate on what happened that night after Bishop Long, you know, told you guys to turn off the camera?
Yeah, sure. You know what? I almost kind of regret not showing some of that now, but, you know, let's open up a little bit. At that time, you know, Nick was just describing about the energy. And at that time, Bishop James was just simply going to be brought into the location to do an exorcism on the location to try and help out with future guests of the place to make sure no attacks happened to any. It was a good deed that we were trying to do to close off our investigation. And after that, you can see when Bishop James walks into the room, I have this look on my face of just, you know, just wanted to do harm to him. At that moment, I felt as if something almost kind of just picked me up, and I was gliding back into the room where the well was. And I guess was starting to talk to nothing, saying things. And at that time, we did get some good EVPs. Those were some of our best EVPs of the night, I admit. Some of them were very hard to hear, but we still presented them to you. But these ones are the ones that I think were the best. Don't trust the light, it said. All relevant stuff to what was going on with the exorcism. At that time, I felt like I was fighting something. And possession is a strong word. But manipulation of one's emotions by demonic energy is a very real thing, and that was what was occurring with us. But at that time, I felt it was so bad, the thoughts that I was having. I was fearful that I was going to attack Bishop James. And I think something was trying to get me to use my body to do that attack on him. And at that time, I asked Bishop James that I just feel weird. And he sat me down. Bishop James did do what I would just say, let's say a cleansing on myself. And he handed me a couple things to see my reaction, what happens when they would hit my hands.
Yeah.
And The thing that was in my hands is I wanted to use it to do harm on Nick's face.
Well, I'm glad you didn't do that, but if that ever comes up again, I know we'll be seeing it. I'm afraid we're out of time, but Ghost Adventures, Friday nights, 9 o'clock, and it's been very successful now for several years running. Look forward to catching more of the adventures of Zach and Nick and their cameraman, Aaron, and God bless you all and happy Halloween. Sinister Forces coming up next on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett.